Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host today. I'm glad you've joined me as we spend the next hour as we examine God's Word in our ongoing study of the Old Testament in 2017. Today we're going to look at Psalm 107 and Psalm 108, Songs of the Hope. Before we begin, I do want to make you aware of a couple of things going on, and one of those is the upcoming power lectures at the South Haven Church of Christ in South Haven, Mississippi. That's going to run the 23rd through the 27th, just a few days away. The theme is the end of time. And for more information, you can call 662-393-2610. That's the annual power lectures. This is one of the older lectureships in the Brotherhood and is always an outstanding event. Also coming up soon on August the 18th through the 21st will be the annual Polishing the Pulpit in Sevierville, Tennessee. And for more information concerning Polishing the Pulpit, you can go to polishingthepulpit.com. They have a great website that is full of information regarding that event. Also, here in the East Texas area, we do want to remind you of the summer lecture series of the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. And that is going on Wednesday nights this summer at 7 p.m., and last night, we had a great lesson from Brother Chris Groda over Hebrews chapter 7, one of our Friday hosts. And coming up this coming Friday, July the 26th, our other Friday host here on Mornings for the Master, Brother J.J. Hendricks, who is one of the preaching ministers of the North Jefferson congregation in Mount Pleasant, will bring the lesson on Hebrews chapter 8. And then coming up in August, on August the 2nd, Hebrews 9 with Andy Baker from Maud, Texas. August 9th, Hebrews 10 with Jeff Blanton from Fulbright, Texas. August 16th, Hebrews 11 with Phil Hancock from the Broadway congregation in Tyler, Texas. August 23rd, Brother Brian Burdeau from Caddo Mills, Texas. And August 30th, Hebrews chapter 13 with Brother Neil Thurman from the University congregation in Tyler, Texas. Do want to remind you, if you have an event coming up in your area, to let us know about it so we can get the word out for you. Send us a notification of it here at office at tgrn.org, and we'll be happy to get that on the air for you. Okay, now we want to turn our attention to God's Word this morning. And as I mentioned earlier, we'll be looking at the 107th Psalm and the 108th Psalm this morning. Psalm 107 begins the fifth book of the Psalms. This contains Psalms 107 through 150. The 107th Psalm is a thanksgiving to the Lord for His mighty deliverance. Let's turn our attention now to the 107th Psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up to the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people, and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water, and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low, though oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Again, the 107th Psalm begins the fifth and the final book of the Psalms. This psalm is closely aligned with the 105th and 106th Psalms. This 107th Psalm is a historical psalm of thanksgiving as it looks back upon the historical journey of the Israelites. This describes the journey from Babylon back to Jerusalem. The penman is not identified, but if the psalm was indeed written upon the return from Babylonian captivity, it would make Ezra a strong possibility as the inspired penman, but that is only speculation. Brother Tom Waycaster outlined this psalm very well. Verses 1 through 3 is the theme of redemption. Verses 4 through 32, it is the return. Verses 33 to 41, the resources. And 42 to 43, the rejoicing. Again, in verses 1 through 3, we see this redemption. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Israel had spent 70 years in Babylonian captivity, and the psalmist gives encouragement and exhortation to the people to be filled with thanksgiving. The Lord is truly good, and his mercy toward his people is beyond our comprehension. The redeemed that had came out of Babylon had much reason to rejoice, for God had taken them from the hand of the Babylonians and returned them back to the land that flowed with milk and honey. Thanks be that our God is a God of mercy and a God of second chances. I'm reminded of John Mark. Do you recall when he had left Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey at some point and for some reason? And when they were about to go again, John Mark, who now desired to journey and minister with them, was met with resistance by Paul. But Barnabas was ready to give John Mark a second chance. And we're very blessed by that second chance that we now have the works of John Mark with us today. Praise be to God for the opportunities and the second chances he gives. Where would we be without the second and even third chances that he gave to Peter? God had taken his people that had been scattered among the Babylonians and had restored their identity and their place among the nations. In verses 4 through 32, we see the return. Verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The journey returning back to Jerusalem from Babylon was a difficult and dangerous journey. The Israelites would have endured definite hardship traveling through a land which was not their own. And apparently hunger and thirst were both problems, and they would have to learn to rely upon God for their care. The Israelites turn to God again, and God is faithful to his people when they are in need, and they turn to him. God led them in the right way, just as he always had led them, whenever Israel was willing to follow him. The problem was Israel was most of the time not willing to follow. Men must always give proper thanksgiving to the Lord as he delivers and brings us through the storms and trials of life on earth. Israel had been a captured and defeated people with no hope outside of God, and yet he lifted them up and took them home. From sinking sand, he lifted them. God will do for man what he cannot do for himself. With tender hand, he lifted them. Verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought them down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Israel longed and desired to go home from captivity. Most who were taken off had died by now. The original captives that were still alive were now aged. The younger that did not remember the old days longed for what they were told of their entire lives, and they desired that relationship with God that they had not experienced in their lives. The 70 years were a time of despair and darkness when they were in the captivity. They had truly lived in the shadow of death. Verse 10 said that they had been bound in affliction and irons. Indeed, they had suffered a bitter bondage. But they were in that position. They were in those grips of bondage because of their sin. They had been stiff-necked and rebellious, and God had chastened them because he loved them. Thanks be that we have a God that loves us enough to chasten us when it is needed for our own good. It took 70 years, but Israel had finally been broken and had learned their lesson, at least temporarily. When finally broken, They had cried out to God, and he had heard their cry. And so God brought them out of Babylon, and men had great reason to praise God, as we see in verse 15, as they give thanks to the Lord because of his goodness. We go to verse 16 now. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. Verse 16 said, For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Isaiah prophesied of this concerning the release of the from Babylonian captivity. Secular history records that Babylon had 100 large bronze gates divided equally on the four sides of the city walls. Israel was no longer held back by the bronze gates of Babylon. Verse 17 points out that they had only been captives in Babylon because of their sin and rebellion. The situation in which they had been living and their sin was the only reason that they were there in the first place. Verse 18 says, Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. The way of the transgressor is hard. Sin destroys life and wellness. They had literally destroyed their own lives with their incessant pursuit of sin and all of its folly. Verse 19 points out that after they had hit rock bottom, they cried out to God, and God heard their cry and rescued them. But why did it have to reach that point for them? Why did they have to fall so far before turning to God? But it also begs the question of why is our nation set and determined to repeat the folly of Israel? Verse 21 says, Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness today. God controls even the very breath of life. How dare man today set himself up as equal to or greater than God by his action and his total disregard for the ways of the Lord? We go to verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the elders, and praise him in the company of the elders. The sailors upon the sea and the merchantmen of the sea are witnesses to the wonders of God upon the waters. The power of God is seen in the stormy gale and in the eye of the hurricane, in the crashing waves upon the ships. Verse 26 speaks to the great rise of the stormy wave that reaches to the heavens seemingly, and then the falling wave that seems to go to the bottom of the depths. What awesome power is witnessed in those frightful moments. Verses 27 and 28 call to mind the apostles of our Lord upon the storm-tossed sea when they were all but resigned to their impending death upon the waters. It was Jesus who spoke to the waves, saying, "Peace, peace, be still." He calms the storm, verse 29, so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. The power of Jesus can be seen in the calming of the storm and the gladness that the waves have subsided and safety has returned. Again, verse 31 pointed out, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders." We should be giving continual thanks and continually placing before our children and grandchildren the goodness of God and his power and his love for his creation. Who is man that the Lord should be mindful of him? Indeed, we are so blessed by God. In verses 33 through 41, we see the resources. He turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water, and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly. And he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. There are many changes that occur over the course of our lives. The river becomes a wilderness, and the spring goes dry. The wicked come and go. God restores the spring of water. The point here is that change occurs in life. We are going to experience good times and bad times, but our God will remain constant, and our God will remain faithful. And we must learn to be content and be not dismayed. Whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Verse 39 said, when they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. The great majority of the problems that man faces are the direct or the indirect result of sin. Disobedience will always bring consequence, and obedience will always bring blessings. Why is it that man, through the centuries, has had such a hard time learning this fact? The Bible tells us, from the first page to the last page, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, obey and receive blessing, disobey and receive punishment. And so now at this point here in our text, man is coming out of the chastisement at the hand of the Babylonians. And they are now returning to a time of obedience and numerous blessings. But once again, it will only be short-lived, for man will quickly return to the pursuit of evil, and the withdrawal of God's blessings will accompany their evil deeds. I think back to 2001 and recall that after the terrorist attacks in New York and Washington, how our country briefly turned back to God, began to seek God, momentarily detouring off the path of evil. But though they were moved when they became fearful, it is quite evident that that momentary return to God was short-lived, and again, a nation began to quickly go off pursuing evil. Verse 40 says, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. God is not a respecter of persons, nor does he show partiality. The mighty ones of the earth stand for the same judgment as all men, and will answer for their deeds in this life. Kings and princes are powerless before God. If you don't believe that, you can just ask Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 41 tells us that God can raise up the poor and bring down kings. God is in control of all his creation, and this includes the nations. And finally, the last part of this 107th Psalm depicts the need for rejoicing. Verse 42, the righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The righteous will rejoice as God delivers and restores blessings to his people. The success of the Israelites led by their God would silence the mouth of the wicked. Those who see and observe these things are those that will truly taste that the Lord is good as they experience his loving kindness, as we read about in the 34th Psalm, verse 8. This psalm has truly taught us again that God is in control and that blessings overflowing await those who seek His will and live in obedience to His will as revealed to us by the inspired message of the Holy Spirit given to men through the pages of the precious book Divine. Beautiful lessons of the 107th Psalm. And now we turn our attention, lastly this morning, to Psalm 108. Psalm 108 speaks to the assurance of God's victory over enemies. It is a Psalm of David. Let's turn our attention now to Psalm 108. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. And I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Over Philistia I will triumph. You, who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our enemies, with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is He who shall tread down our enemies. Again, the 108th Psalm is a Psalm of David. And this psalm repeats much of what is found in the 57th and 60th Psalms. The time of the writing of this psalm is unknown, but this psalm centers our minds and turns us to thoughts of the glory of God. Brother Waycaster outlined the psalm as follows. 1, the music of David in the first three verses. In verses 4 through 10, the majesty and might of Jehovah. Praise in 4 and 5, prayer in 6, and power in 7 through 10. And mercy requested in 11 through 13. Verse 1 said, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Like David, we should desire and purpose to have a steadfast heart. Or we might say a heart that is set or purposed. Like the Apostle Paul, we must die to self on a daily basis and set our sights on living for Christ. We should live as being crucified with Christ. according to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Then, when we do that, we will have a steadfast heart. The individual who has died to self will sing and give praise with all their soul to the one who has redeemed us from sin. Verse 2, awake, lute and harp, I will awaken the dawn. David is going to rise up early before the dawn and greet the new day with praise and devotion to his God. Verse 3, he said, I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. David desires to praise the Lord before all men. David's thankfulness to God will be evident to all. And David's praise of God would not be limited just to the Jews only. But David was going to praise the name of God even to the Gentile nations. Verse 4 and 5 says, For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth. David gives praise to God here in verses 4 and 5. Indeed, God's mercy is great above the heaven. The mercy of God is beyond our understanding, and his truth reaches to the clouds. We're not capable of even beginning to understand the extent of the mercies of God. God is exalted, and the glory of God is above all of the earth. It is above our ability to conceive. God is infinite in his mercy to his creation. Verse 6 says that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me. Verse 6 is David's prayer that God will deliver and save and hear. The beloved here in verse 6 are the faithful followers of the Lord. And God will always deliver his beloved children in their time of need. And God will hear the prayer of those whose prayers are not hindered by unrepentant sin. And he will save these from their troubles. Verse 7 says, God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and the measure out of the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Over Philistia I will triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies? David in verses 7 through 11 reflects upon God's power. God has truly spoken in His holiness. And here, as we see the Lord dealing with the nations of those ancient days, we are reminded that God is in control, and it is God's will that determines the fates of nations. We see that He is just in all of His dealings, and that His will shall be done in all instances regarding the destinies of men and nations. God's word will not return to Him void. You might notice verse 9, where it says, Moab is my washpot. Moab, because of their hostile actions toward God's people, because they refused, Israel would be completely destroyed and made nothing more than a washpot to God. Edom would become nothing more than an insult, something to cast the shoe upon. They would be as nothing more than dirt. You might recall that this came to pass because you will not find any Edomites today. God is looking for men and women today who are willing to stand in the gap, to enjoin the spiritual warfare against Satan and his legions today. Verse 12, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is He who shall tread down our enemies. God is the source of help in the day of trouble. Man is useless to be of help in the day of trouble. But for those who trust and put their faith in God, we shall do valiantly. Indeed, if God be for us, who can be against us? The Lord needs valiant men and women to stand in the gap in the warfare with the prince of darkness. God is looking and searching today. Are you answering His call? Lessons from the 108th Psalm. I hope that this time today has been beneficial to you. I know it has certainly reminded me of the power of our God and the fact that He is in control of the nations and that He will reward obedience and will punish disobedience. I encourage you to stay tuned the rest of the day for the programming here on the Gospel Radio Network. Many good programs coming up, and also periods of beautiful a cappella hymns. Tomorrow, Brother Groda and Brother Hendricks will pick up with the 109th Psalm. If the Lord wills, I'll be back with you again here on Mornings for the Master next Thursday. And I also invite you to join me Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time for studies in the Gospels as we study the life of Christ each week, as we read in the four accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so, it's been a pleasure to be with you. I hope you have a great day. And until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a wonderful day.